Good evening. I am Micah. I have gone down in history as a minor prophet, but in the days when we were preaching, none of us thought of ourselves as major or minor. We just did and spoke the things that we were called to speak and do. Now, I hope you know the history of my people. After David and Solomon were dead, our nation of Israel was divided into the northern and the southern kingdoms. Northern kingdom fell in the year 721 BC. They fell to the Assyrians, never to be a nation or a kingdom again. Southern kingdom, they were able to survive for another 140 some years. Now, the northern kingdom was unbelievably wicked. That's why God made an end to it. He was simply not going to take that from people whom he had so blessed. Now, I lived in the northern kingdom and I saw it all happen. When that kingdom fell, I came down to the southern kingdom to preach. I was the only prophet to preach in both kingdoms. I was a contemporary, you know, of Amos and Hosea in the north and Isaiah in the south. I was in a pretty good company, I would say. Now, in a way, I could understand how the northern kingdom could have fallen. You see, God had blessed his people all those years. He had blessed them because they were his. They were his chosen people. And even when they sinned terribly and became wicked, they still held to the false notion that God would bless them anyway, no matter how immoral and greedy they became. How could God give up his own children, they used to say. Now, even though Amos and Hosea had warned them so sternly, I can perhaps understand why they wouldn't listen. For they had no history that would have told them that God will not let a nation like that survive. Now, of course, they had some history during the time of Joshua and the judges to let them know that God would not permit a nation to live that way. But God had never made a complete end to them before. But now he had. He had done it. History recorded it for everyone to see and interpret. A nation that rejects God and his ordinances simply cannot survive. That is why I was so stunned when I came down to the southern kingdom of Judah and found that they had not learned that lesson. Anyone who wants to interpret history can readily see that when immorality, greed, dishonest rulers, dishonest judges, when they take over a nation, it will not survive. If there is a God in heaven, he will let no such nation continue to exist. History always tells us that in whatever period you study it. But now those people down there in the southern kingdom saw what had happened in the north, and they continued to live the same way. For that reason, I did an astounding thing when I went to Jerusalem to preach. I walked among them naked, and I preached to them naked. And I did that, of course, to attract attention, and you can imagine that it did. We had to do things in those days that your prophets in your day do not have to do. We did everything, anything, to make these people listen. Because these people were living in days of terrible crises. My purpose, of course, was not just to attract attention. I was trying to remind these people in Jerusalem what happened to us in the north. We were stripped naked by an enemy because we did not remain faithful to God. Now, I remember hearing the prophet Hosea preach. He was the one, you remember, whom the Lord ordered to marry a prostitute because the Lord wanted him to tell the people what it was like having a wife who was not faithful to him. Who ran after every man she could. Who gave herself to anyone who wanted her. See, God wanted Hosea to tell them what it felt like to love someone who did not return that love, but went after every corruption she could find. God wanted Hosea to experience that so he could tell the people how God felt. God told the people through Hosea that if they didn't stop, going after these other gods, he would strip them naked so everyone could see their shame. And that is just what God had to do. Well, here I come. After God has stripped us naked for being unfaithful to him, here I came before these people in the south. Naked. I tried to impress upon them that they could not ignore history. I tried to tell them what happened in history will happen again to an unfaithful nation. We had been caught. We were guilty. The Lord Himself had testified against us. Now, God sent me to tell them in the south that He had caught them also in unfaithfulness. You can't ignore history, I told them. I also came before them naked because I was representing people who were being taken advantage of by the rich and by the rulers and judges in Jerusalem. Nearly all of the leadership in the south was in Jerusalem. It was a small kingdom now. And the leadership was centralized in that capital city. Isaiah was in Jerusalem. And he was trying to straighten things out with the leadership. But my concern at the time was with the common people in the countryside. Although Isaiah made some references to the poor, his concern was more with the powerful among us. See, Isaiah was from the city, and he was of royal lineage. I was from the country, small town, about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem. I saw what was happening to the common people. The rich, the powerful from Jerusalem, they were buying up, taking the land away from the weak and the poor. And when the poor would take the rich to court, the judges were paid off by the rich so that the poor would lose their land, have nothing to live by. The rich were stripping the poor naked. And I represented the poor. The Lord called me to be the judge, and He said He would witness against them. Because, He said, my glory is tied up with the poor. And do you understand what He meant? This is what the Lord told me. These poor, meek people trust me. I gave that land to their fathers and to their fathers before them. And I protected their land with my laws so that no one would be able to take that land from them. That land has belonged to their families since the day I gave them this land when they came out of bondage in Egypt. That land, it's their birthright. And it is where their families have buried their forefathers. Now, these people trust me to keep it for them. How dare the rich and powerful take it from them? These are simple people, he said, who trust me. I promised them security and peace, and I promised them that they would be able to keep this land as long as they wished. And now, you rich and powerful, you would take it from them? Do you really think I will stand for that? The Lord was furious. He said, I gave them that land. I have given them that land. You have no right to take it. The land is for me to give and take, and those people trust me to keep them safe. And now you take that trust from them? You're destroying my glory when you cause them to lose their land because I promised it to them. It is my glory you are messing with here. Shall I forgive you for that? No, you rich and powerful. You will eat, but you will never be satisfied. You will put away, but you will never save anything. And what you will save will be taken away from you with the sword. I will not take that treatment from you, says the Lord. These people trust me, and you are taking away their trust in me. And as I stood there telling them all of this, I said, with what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? No, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God? It was then that the Lord told me something that the world had been waiting to know for a very long time. He told me where the Son was to be born. This one who was to save his people from sin, this Ancient of Days, who was to cause the glory of the Lord to show forth in Zion. He who would bring forth a day when men would know peace, when they would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and men would know of war no more. I was told where he was to be born. We had always thought it would be Jerusalem. After all, that was the capital city. It was the place where David had established his rule. It was David's city of peace. Even the Magi, when they came from the east, thought he would be born in Jerusalem. But not so. As the Lord spoke to me about Jerusalem and the wickedness of the city, the Lord told me that his Son would not make his entrance there. Jerusalem, he said, would take a rod and strike him upon the cheek, but he would not be born there. He'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea, a simple little village with simple people who had been taken advantage of by the rich and the powerful in Jerusalem. It was as if God made that decision in my day when he saw how the rich and proud took advantage of the poor who trusted him. It was not to be that such glory would go to Jerusalem. It was to be that such glory would go to the little town of Bethlehem. Jerusalem had had all the advantages. The priests were there, the kings, the prophets, but the Lord turned aside from all that glory and gave the glory to the humble and meek. No wonder he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. No wonder, too, his mother said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You see, God's glory is tied up with the poor, the simple, the humble who trust him. And he makes his glory known through them. Actually, it was fitting that the Ancient of Days be born in Bethlehem. It was the birthplace of David. It was also where our patriarch Jacob buried his beloved wife Rachel as she died giving birth to Benjamin. And that is why when Jeremiah predicted that Herod would try to kill Jesus by killing all the male children in Bethlehem under 2 years of age, he said, Rachel will weep for her children, but no one can comfort her, for they are not. He was to be born in Bethlehem. Now you'll notice when you read my book how difficult it is, for I keep going back and forth between God's judgment and His mercy. In the same breath, I spoke of His judgment and then of His mercy and then back to His judgment again. Can you understand why I did that? God is severe. And those who take advantage of His people. But He is so merciful with His own. I could never speak of God's judgment without, in the same breath, speaking of His love and His mercy. I can never divide them, for God always shows mercy, even in His days of judgment. Now, your own preachers who know the Christ can never speak of the sins of the people without speaking of God's love for you in His Son. And that is why I always back and forth from judgment and mercy. You can sort it out if you like, but even in the days of my greatest frustration, I could never stop telling them about the forgiveness and the love of God, even for the worst of God's people. And that is why I finished my prophecy with this prayer. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old.